Well, the Syrian army says the city of Aleppo is now under fire, under its control rather, after 4-year battle with rebel forces. The final round of civilians and rebel fighters have been evacuated from the east of the city on their way to opposition-held territory in neighbouring Idlib province. So, what does the fall of Aleppo mean for the Syrian people and for the US-led international coalition of forces fighting ISIS in Syria? A new article published by the Lowy Institute this week argues that it is time for the West to acknowledge that Assad has won in Syria. The author is retired Army officer Jim Molan, who was the chief of coalition operations in Iraq in 2004. He joins me this morning. Jim Molan, good morning.
Hamish, how are you?
I'm very well. It's good to speak with you. Before we sort of get onto the detail of your argument, obviously most listeners probably will know you as a candidate that's run for the Liberal Party at the federal election. So just to square that off, are you coming at this from a particular political point of view, from an ideological point of view, or are you looking at this from a sort of military strategic viewpoint?
No, I guess I'm looking at it much more from a military strategic viewpoint. I'm fairly comfortable with where the government is in relation to its commitment to Iraq and what it's doing militarily in Syria, which is committed to Iraq. So that's a different argument to what the West as a whole might want to do in Syria. But no, I'm fairly happy with that, and I'm fairly happy with the coalition's defence policy. I just think it might be a little bit too slow. So it's a strategic view, Hamish.
So why accept that Assad has won? What's the strategic difficulty with the campaign that Australia, along with Western allies, is waging, given that we are ultimately opposed to multiple sides of the one conflict?
Yes, we are. And this is where it gets very, very difficult. We may be opposed to the disparate... We may be opposed to what Saddam, Hezbollah, Putin and Iran are doing in Syria, but there are elements, of course, in the rebellion against the Assad regime, the Al-Qaeda franchise and the Islamic State organisation. We're strongly opposed to them, and we're opposed to even parts of about the 100 rebel groups who are fighting there. But I think the main thing that must cause us to review this is that the steps that we've been taking, we the West have been taking militarily in Syria, that is to support some of the disparate rebel groups, is now looks like only serving to prolong a war and not to win a war. And there's a big moral decision involved in this. Are you going to prolong a war, the probability of which is extraordinarily low of winning because of the strength of Hezbollah, Putin, and Iran, and what's left of the Syrian Arab armies? So that's where I go to.
You're talking about a moral argument, though. I mean, the moral argument... In fact, the case under international law that the West makes is that the Syrian regime is harming its own people, therefore there is a need to intervene. That's countered by the Russian view, which is that it is the legal international actor there in Syria because it is acting there at the invitation of the sovereign Syrian government.
That's correct. And I think there is a higher moral argument than if the Western world and the United Nations and the Arab states accepted your first proposition, that is, we should do something militarily in Syria, which I'm not advocating. If we accepted that argument on the basis that we have a responsibility to protect the Syrian people, then that is a feasible and logical moral basis for us doing military action, but then military action has to be logical. I've not seen the responsibility to protect argument made except informally out of the UN. So we are only involved in Syria in relation to the Islamic State's impact on Iraq. Now, the Americans and other groups are up in the north as well, and they're providing informal informal support without fighting themselves to certain rebel groups. And Turkey's come in, of course. I think there's a higher moral issue in this than a view that we may have a responsibility to protect, which is informal, and only the UN can bring that in, as we did in Libya. That higher moral group is that higher moral order is that should we prolong a war where the probability of victory, now as we see it from Aleppo and the strength of Russia and Hezbollah and Iran and the Syrian Arab Army, should we prolong that war by providing support to disparate rebel groups, which is fundamentally ineffective?
What about the argument that by sort of taking this realpolitik approach, accepting that, you know, the West has been outmaneuvered by Russia, that Assad is, you know, supporting Assad, backing him in is the only real way to bring a close to the conflict. What about the argument that you are then gifting a huge strategic advantage in the region to Iran, that you grant this sort of nexus of power that runs from Tehran to the Iranian-backed Shia-dominated government in Iraq, to the Alawite-led government in Syria by Bashar al-Assad, and the Hezbollah-controlled government in Lebanon? That does change the balance in the region, does it not?
It certainly does, but it is only relevant if we are prepared to take the action which undoes that. And no one is prepared to take the action which undoes it. So we're playing around the edges of this and providing ineffective support to various groups. And I put the Kurds in a different group than the 100 or so very small rebel groups which have come together in various combinations. If we took the principle that you speak about, that is, we have an obligation to prevent the strategic dominance from the Gulf to the Mediterranean by Iran, then we should be doing something about it. But then to do something about that, Hamish, I think you've got to go to war with Russia. And I think that's totally unacceptable. I see no one who is willing to take effective military action to do that.
What about the argument that the regime of Bashar al-Assad is one of the greatest drivers of support for ISIS and support for Sunni fundamentalist militant groups in Syria? That does have some weight, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Absolutely correct. And all of these factors have some weight. And if we're going to give them weight and we're going to translate that into anything which is not support to UN mitigation of consequences or support to diplomacy, if we're going to give that weight, and that we can only do that through military means, and no one is prepared to do it. So all these good arguments for doing something stand. I absolutely agree with them, but I can see no one who is prepared to do anything of the magnitude that you would need to do something about to achieve an effect of these things, that is to destroy the regime. So the question then becomes, by playing around the edges and providing ineffective support to small groups of rebels, are we going in to transgress the greater just war argument that a conflict should be winnable for you to morally engage in it? And it really is a great mix of all these high principle things, but then an unwillingness to do anything about it. And if we have a military tradition, Hamish, which has come out of the last 20 years, it is that we haven't matched our strategies. And you've mentioned the objectives of those strategies, stop Iran, get rid of Assad, help the people, etc. We've never matched them at all in any of the conflicts we've recently been involved in with effective strategy and resources.
You talk about that military history of the last 20 years and the principle-based approach to fighting in these conflicts. What if this approach you're arguing for now was applied in each conflict, abandoning the losing side, as it were, to bring a close to the conflict? Doesn't that undo the foundational principles upon which Australia has fought wars of the past 15, 16 years and wars in which so many Australians have died?
The greatest complaint I have about these wars that we have fought over the last period of time, and as someone who has fought in one of them, is that we haven't matched the policy objectives, the kind of things you spoke about before, with adequate and effective military resources to achieve the aims. So there is nothing wrong with the military has a role, and the role of the military in these interventionist wars is to produce a situation where you can move effectively into a political regime. We hear time and time again that there is no political solution to Iraq or Libya or Afghanistan or Syria, and that's quite true. There is always a political solution in the end, and Assad's found it. His political solution is that you destroy everyone, you act immorally, and then you dominate politically the entire country. We don't do that. And we should not do it. But there is a role for the military, and we failed to do that over the last 20 years. And that role is to put in significant, sufficient resources to achieve a situation where politics can significantly take over. We almost had it in Iraq in 2011. And then, in my view, the error we then made was for President Obama to pull his troops out far too fast.
I'm going to have to leave it there. Enjoy Christmas. You're probably down in Queanbeyan. Have a great time.
Thanks, Hamish.
Tim Mullen.